In the new book, My Father's Wake, How the Irish Teach Us to Live, Love, and Die, Kevin Tullis explains that in Ireland, death is a social obligation and funerals are public events, a communal act of kinship. He chronicles coming to terms with his unsuccessful attempt to save his older brother. He talks about how, after the death of his father, he reconnected with the village and the poorest island off the coast of Ireland's County Mayo, where tradition is as bountiful as sheep. Armed with his Irish heritage, he provides an unexpectedly uplifting look at death based on the rituals of the Irish Wake. Again, the name of the book is My Father's Wake, How the Irish Teach Us to Live, Love, and Die. And we welcome Kevin Tullis to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
What brought you to want to write about your father, write about death, write about being Irish?
Well, it happened, the moment of burden and revelation happened at the foot of my father's deathbed. He was dying in a room in a house that he'd built as a youth in a village where my family have lived for 200 years. He was unconscious, dying of pancreatic cancer. And I went into that room, to that deathbed scene. And as I looked around, there were 12 or 13 people in the room, some of whom were strangers to me. And I thought, I wonder what these people are doing there. What are they seeking to gain from seeing the moment of my father, Sonny, die? And then at that moment, our Imro Kinsha, which is like our chief keener in Irish, Imro Kinsha, she began to say a prayer, a Catholic prayer, the rosary, Hail Mary, full of grace. And then there's a kind of chorus where they say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And as she said the first verse and the chorus, that 12 or 13 people in that tiny room, the sound grew louder and louder until it was the loudest sound I've ever heard in my life. And I saw in that moment that this was a way of coping with death, of dealing with death, that really is so old and ancient. And as I found out from my research, it's as old as the fall of Troy, which was written, Homer wrote the Iliad in 800 BC. So the Irish still practice an ancient way of dealing with death, an incredibly strong way of dealing with death through the Irish Wake, and it still has many lessons to teach us all.
The prayer, the five sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, and from that moment, you hear those words, don't you? I mean, they mean more then than they do when you are reciting them as a child or as a student.
Yeah, but they're also almost like a kind of chant. It could have been like a Buddhist prayer, or it could have been a Jewish prayer. It was a comforting, familiar prayer. And what those individuals were doing in this very public spectacle of death is that they were cradling this man, who happened to be my father, Sonny. But it was like a lullaby. They were cradling him into death. That the last sound he would have ever heard were these familiar prayers. And if you think about it, the first best hope of life is that you will be born to people who will love you. And we think how terrible it is for a child, you know, the child that's rejected by their family or the family are so disordered. The last best hope of life is that you will die amidst a community who will still love you too. And that's also what I saw in the moment with my father, Sonny, that these people, they loved him, and they loved him as he was dying, and they were trying to make the passage out as easy and as simple, as graceful as it could possibly be.
You talked a moment about the public nature of this, but you talk about in the book death being a social obligation and funerals, public events. There is that community aspect.
Well, one of the things, our problem with death in sort of the Western world, both in England and in America, is we often feel embarrassed about the subject. We don't know what to do with the bereaved. You know, we don't visit the sick and dying. We think that death is something where you pull the curtains across and we lower our voices, and we think it's just got to take place in this very sort of discreet, private arena. But, you know, one of your jobs, Joe, in Ireland, if you're a radio show host, you'd be reading out the deaths at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock each day. If it happened in New York, the announcer would have to read out 230 names three times a day. The Irish don't have the same social reluctance to talk about death in public. So they listen to the names of the daily departed on the radio, and they go in great numbers to their neighbours' houses to comfort the bereaved, to touch the bodies of the dead, you know, a dead human, to see and touch those bodies, to gather around all night, to wake with that the family of the deceased, and then to go to their funeral in great numbers. So like a very ordinary person. And my father was a pretty ordinary person. He wasn't like rich or famous. His name was never in the newspaper. He didn't found an empire. But he had 400 or 500 people come to his funeral. Most of us, you know, we'd be probably lucky if we get 20. So it's that very different attitude, social attitude towards death. You know, the Irish don't want to die, but they're much more comfortable around the bereaved and you might say, the mechanism of our mortality.
You write about this as well in the book, but it's also how you, at the time of your father's passing, are reconnecting with the village that has been a part of your family for generations and generations. How did you feel that connection, and how is it something you were seeking, or is it something that you found by accident?
Well, my family have lived in the same oceanside village on an island off the coast of County Mayo for the last 200 years, if not probably longer. And so I'm connected in blood relationships to many people in those villages. My mother also came from an adjacent village. So there's a whole web of connections. But I wouldn't just say that the Irish wake is something that's very particular to, you know, small, remote islands. The lessons can be applied in our cities of kind of concrete and glass. I mean, this is a right of humanity that has lasted 1,000 generations. I mean, up to 200 years ago, wakes were common throughout the entire Western world, throughout Europe. You still see elements of that in the funereal practices in America. But we become discomforted with death. You know, we pixelate out the bodies of the dead on TV. We feel embarrassed. And that's the lesson that the Irish wake tells us. It's a bit like knowing that you're going to run a compulsory marathon and the whistle's going to go off and you're going to have to run 26 miles. Well, if that was the case in our lives, then we'd probably do a few practice laps around the local park or local gym. And that's really what an Irish wake is. It's a kind of practice lap for your own mortality. You go to a wake, you see and touch a dead body, you see people having cups of tea, laughing, joking, being sad, and then you get on with the rest of your life. So it's normal. It's not exceptional. It's not something that's going to happen once in a generation. It's not terrifying. It's just an ordinary part of life.
How did it become so connected with the social drinking aspect? I mean, growing up as an Irish Catholic, I heard that all my life.
Well, maybe our experiences of wakes are slightly different. I've been to wakes that are terribly good fun, and most of the fuel has been tea. I've been to other wakes where there's a little bit more alcohol. But generally, what happens, it's the hungers of the living. You're there in the company of the bereaved and in the company of the dead. But, you know, after a couple of hours, you want to get something to eat. You want to get something to drink. In that way, it's also a celebration of a life. I mean, this may sound a bit perverse, but I actually prefer Irish wakes to Irish funerals. They're a lot more fun, and you learn a lot more about human life. I mean, with my father, he died in this very small room. And then, you know, after a couple of hours, we moved him into the coffin in the adjacent front sitting room. And lots of old men came to the house, and they talked about a man who I never knew, who, of course, was their friend, one of their generation. I'd only ever seen my father as his son, you know, through the eyes of a child. But these men told stories, and women too, told stories of what he was like in his youth, how they'd worked together, the places, different cities that they'd worked in. So it was a revelation about a man who obviously was my father, and also a sort of stranger who I didn't know.
Ultimately, what do you hope people take from the story of your father's wake?
It's very simple to reach out. The simplest way you can practice the Irish wake, a colleague in your office whose mother or father has died, instead of being embarrassed and say, oh, they won't want to talk about it, you walk across the office and you shake their hand and you say, I'm sorry for your trouble. You share a bit of the burden of mortality. One of the things that they do on the island is there's two great honors. One is to carry the coffin. So there's no professional pallbearers. So you're carried to the grave, hopefully by the men of your own line. But if not, the local guys from the bowls club, the people who your neighbors, anyone can offer that honor. And it binds that community together. With my father, my actual sisters took part, unusually, in carrying their coffin to the grave. And the other thing that happens, which is a bit more tricky, I can see, in an urban environment, is there are no professional grave diggers. And so on the island, there's six or seven men who take it in turns to dig the grave. And they do it by hand with shovels. They could do it with a machine easily. But again, they regard it as an honor. And it's that linking of the dead and the living. Now, that is our ancient human story. And what we've done through medicalization and urbanization, we've alienated ourselves from our own mortality and from the way that we all communally stood together against our mortality, as you can in the Irish wake.
The name of the book is My Father's Wake, How the Irish Teach Us to Live, Love, and Die. The book is published by DeCapo Press. Kevin Tullis, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Be well. Thank you. Again, My Father's Wake is the name of the book by Kevin Tullis, published by DeCapo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.